The demand of commodities, fine chemicals, aroma compounds, proteins, or medicines such as antibiotics is increasing worldwide. However, conventional biotechnology production processes based on monocultures of microbial flora are reaching their limits. So how can new, more efficient production routes be created by scale-up that not only meet demand, but are also economically viable and sustainable? Roughly speaking, this is what the DFG Priority Program Interzell is about. We will be exploring this topic piece by piece with our podcast, Lab Whispers of Bioengineering. Co-cultures are not very common in laboratories. However, in nature, more than 90% of microbial flora live in co-cultures. Filamentous co-cultures in particular are difficult to handle. A team of researchers from the Interzell DFG Priority Program is on a mission to gain more insights from screening to bioprocess development. Today, we are discussing these topics with Professor Miriam Agler-Rosenbaum and Professor Jorgen Magnus. Would you like to briefly introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name's Miriam Rosenbaum, and I'm directing the biopilot plant at the Leibniz Institute for Natural Product Research and Infection Biology in Jena. And I'm also a professor at Friedrich Schiller University in Jena.
And my name is Jorgen Magnus. I'm head of the chair for biochemical engineering at the RWTH University of Aachen. I studied chemical engineering and did a PhD in biochemical engineering. And then I was almost 18 years in industry before I started in April 2023 here in Aachen.
And how did you become involved in the overall Interzell program?
I originally also worked in Aachen, and there I established very close collaborations with the chair of biochemical process engineering. And we already worked on microbial co-cultures before this call for this priority program came out. And so when we saw this call, this was a perfect fit to continue and deepen our research in microbial co-cultures.
So for me, I took over this program from my predecessor, Jochen Buchs, who had initiated it. And it's very exciting to be allowed to work with this topic.
What fascinates you the most about the program?
The co-culture with two different microorganisms in the same bioreactor is a very difficult challenge to observe it and to control it and to describe it mathematically. So the complexity is an extremely interesting challenge. But then it's also, a topic that has not been investigated too much, but it has the potential to solve some of the interesting problems, like how to use cellulose as raw material in fermentations, which has been a challenge that no one has really been able to solve well in the last 20 or 30 years. And so this can be a new way to approach it. So that's very exciting.
And Miriam, what about you?
Besides these really cool biological topics of microbial interaction and using complex substrates for conversion, it's also like really amazing to work in the priority program where the different teams have very similar interests, and the interaction between PIs and collaborations between PIs, exchanging methods and ideas, but also the interaction between these scientific co-workers, the PhD students, is something that is really beneficial. And these students definitely get much more out of their PhD than a PhD student who's just working on a single project. And the interaction here is kind of built in. So it's a co-culture also on the personal interaction level that is built into this priority program.
And what is the goal of your research project? Also, have you had a highlight as of yet?
The goal is to really develop the methodology to handle these defined co-cultures. I mean, just adding one more microorganism into a bioprocess is a complete game changer. And we now have to know what these two microorganisms are doing and how they behave at what time point in order to have any chance at controlling this bioprocess. And so we went out to develop the methodology to really monitor these co-cultures online. And it's very difficult because both culture partners are filamentous organisms, so they behave very different from a traditional E. coli in a bioreactor. And besides that, we add cellulose as another filamentous substrate, particulate substrate to it. And so online monitoring in this scenario is very difficult, but we tackled it in the first phase of the funding and developed a platform with model organisms to be able to really understand how these two model partners interact. And That was very successful. So that was one highlight, that we now have the possibility to control the growth of a fungus in collaboration with a bacterium to produce natural products. And now in this new phase that started 1 year ago, we're trying to use this as a platform to evaluate the biosynthetic potential of a whole range of Streptomyces bacteria, because this is the treasure trove in nature for most of our antibiotics and many other pharmaceutical companies that come from the bacterial world. And many of these Streptomyces are still underexplored. And so we would like to employ them in our platform and now screen for the production of new compounds, because we also think that our platform not only is a cool platform to put two organisms together on a cellulose substrate, but we're mimicking what's going on in the forest soil environment. We have a fungus degrading the wood biomass and feeding a bacterium with a slow release of sugars. And this is what these Streptomyces encounter in the environment. And so we try and hope to stimulate actually their biosynthetic potential in a very controlled bioreactor bioprocess environment.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that just the fact that we're able to run this co-culture at all and that we can control the growth rates of both species at the same time, that is really a highlight. And now we're also moving into different types of Streptomyces strains. So not only the curly collar strain, but also other types. And on our end, we have already been able to implement some of the online monitoring methods like the fluorescence so that we can differentiate between the different organisms in the co-culture. And that's certainly for us at least a highlight in this project.
Which pigments and natural substances do you expect in this context?
For the first funding phase, we used a very well-described model Streptomyces that produces indeed two pigments. And we picked this organism because of these pigments, because we have another online signal, an optical signal that shows us the bioactivity of these strains by following the production of these pigments that we can measure optically. Now, when we look at all these other Streptomyces, it's not so much about pigments. Some of them indeed are nice, colorful, and show us pigment production, but we want to look behind this curtain of what we see immediately and really use analytical tools to look at the whole bandwidth of molecules that are produced, and then to see which ones of these are really relevant, which ones are really upregulated and are produced in a significant amount, because many of these compounds are invisible unless you really use mass spectrometry analysis or other high-performance analysis to look into the culture environment. And we also have established this platform now for metabolomics to really get a picture of the entire landscape of metabolites that is produced in this co-culture.
And then maybe discover some new products that are not so well established because they simply have not been able to produce them so far. And then if we can produce them also in a setting that is relevant to a commercialization, then it could potentially be something very valuable that we have not been able to produce chemically or with other kinds of bioprocesses until now.
So do you think this will be possible to transfer the research to an industrial scale?
I think that is the big, exciting question. And certainly for us, one of the major milestones to bring it up to a 50-liter or 150-liter scale. I think the basic work that needs to be done before that is quite significant. We're working in small scale at the moment to provide all the information and all the develop all the knowledge we need to do this scale up. But that would be, I think, the major milestone and certainly an exciting goal to work towards. And after that, to really get to industrial scale is not so difficult anymore. I think once we get it in a 100-liter scale, the further scale up is going to be easier.
Yeah, and it will also depend on, do we identify a really cool product in these co-cultures? Yeah, we will not go back to our model co-culture where all products of Streptomyces cellulicola are already known and well described. Yeah, we now are really going open-minded in these new co-cultures with new producers and screen them for the production of interesting molecules, hopefully in a significant amount so that it's also worthwhile scaling this up to purify these new products.
Yeah, we need to have a business case, like a product that is really valuable and wanted, and then we can go up and see if we can actually commercialize the whole process. But that is really a vision in the future, I think.
Well, it's amazing what you've already found out. Professor Miriam Agler-Rosenbaum and Professor Jorgen Magnus, we are thrilled with your astonishing insights and very grateful that you are contributing so much to this groundbreaking research. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.